Are you on track for a comfortable retirement? I'll share three ways to tell next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times bestselling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrews speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, maybe you've heard me say that I consider myself a bird dogger. I point my students and mentees to resources that will provide the best solutions. I'm reaching out to you today to provide insights into opportunities that will solve problems you're not even aware maybe that you have. And you may know that I have a YouTube channel where I post an in-depth answer to a specific financial question at least 5 days a week at 9:30 in the morning. That's Mountain Time. And recently, I asked this question that had been asked over 3,000 times a month for the last several months. They usually type in the question such as, am I on track for a comfortable retirement? Well, the quick answer is, if you stopped working right now, will your money last as long as you do? And it's amazing how many people say, well, I don't know. So I'm going to give you three ways to tell. Number one, it's primarily a function of where your money is invested and what rate of return are you realistically getting. A lot of times people think they're getting average returns of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12%. And when people would come to me for 4.5 decades, I would look at their internal rate of return, meaning the amount of money that they were socking away or contributed to a plan or a particular account, the frequency, and then it's a very complicated calculation. And you look at what the amount is in their account at a given time, and then you have to back into the equation with sophisticated software to give people the internal rate of return, and they're oftentimes shocked that their average return has only been maybe 3.5%. But see, Dalbar has been telling us that for years, that the average retiree who has their money invested in the market in traditional IRAs and 401ks is only averaging about 3.49%, and that's why the financial services industry has this 4% rule. When you retire, you're only supposed to pull out 4% because you'll gradually complete your nest egg, but probably not before your LE, that is your life expectancy. So many times when I have helped people accumulate money for retirement, I'm thinking of a couple right now in California where they now have $8 million accumulated totally tax-free, but we had to do a strategic rollout where we got their money out, the taxes over and done with, and repositioned the after-tax money into a portfolio that was going to be tax-free from now on, and ultimately reimbursed them for the taxes that they incurred as they strategically rolled the money out. That's not a rollover, it's a roll out. And we've helped many, many people do this to dramatically increase their rate of return. In fact, their $8 million now is generating the last few years between 8 to 10%. They could pull out $800,000 a year tax-free without depleting their principal. They only need $300,000, so the other $500,000 is just continuing to grow to hedge against inflation for the future. So they definitely have a comfortable retirement because they're able to live on less than what their current portfolio is generating by far. So you want to calculate your internal rate of return. Many times people have money in whole life insurance, for example, think that their rate of return is 5 or 6%, but the net internal rate of return, cash on cash, is maybe only 2 or 3 or 4%, meaning if you had $1 million of cash value in a whole life policy, it might only generate about $40,000 a year of income. The reason why I'm partial to indexed universal life is because normally, based on actual history, for the last 40 years, an indexed universal life in particular will usually generate about double that, about an 8% payout, up to 10%, so that every $1 million can generate $80,000 to $100,000 a year of tax-free income without depleting principal. Now, the second big point here is you need a strategy that eliminates the dangers of taxes, inflation, and market volatility. So if you want to calculate if you're on track for a comfortable retirement, you need to analyze where your money is, what would happen if taxes continued to go up, which most Americans believe they will. The Congressional Budget Office and the General Accountability Office estimates that taxes will likely go up to 50, 60, 70%, especially as some of these initiatives that are popular these days with free college tuition, Medicare for all. Yes, it's not just the rich. Middle-income Americans are going to be paying more and more in tax. And so you want a strategy, in my opinion, where your money is immune from taxes going up because you're in a totally tax-free portfolio. If your money's in the market in traditional IRAs and 401ks, you're going to have to pay tax the rest of your life as you take withdrawals. You want to have something where inflation doesn't hurt you. It actually helps you. You link your returns to the things that inflate. So if inflation goes to 5, you'll likely earn more like 10. If inflation's 10, you'll likely earn 15 or more. And so there's very few investments or strategies in this country where you can be immune from the dangers of taxes and inflation. Otherwise, the cost of living will probably cut your purchasing power in half about every 7 to 10 years, meaning pretty soon you'll need $200,000 a year to buy the same gallons of gas, loaves of bread, haircuts, golf green fees, whatever, as you could have bought with $100,000 just 7 to 10 years earlier, or $50,000 7 to 10 years earlier, because the cost of living doubles. Pretty soon, $50,000 of income, you're going to need $100,000. And then you're going to need $200,000. And maybe, based upon your life expectancy, you'll need $200,000 down the road a year to buy what you used to buy for $50,000 when you first retired. So you have to have a strategy that helps you because of inflation and the cost of living increase. The last big danger you need to eliminate is market volatility. Unfortunately, many retirees have their money in the market. They're way too top heavy in the market. I would recommend that no more than 30% of your retirement assets be in the market when you retire. I would actually prefer that none of your money is at risk in the market. But when people would come to me, they would be way too top heavy in the market. And so they're subject to market volatility, and they didn't learn the lessons from 2000 to 2010 and 2012, where people who had their retirement nest egg invested in the market lost 40% twice in that decade. And it's the lost decade. It took 12 years just to make back what they lost in 2001 to 2003, and again in one single year in 2008. If they started out with $1 million in the year 2000, they barely had their $1 million back in 2012. People using indexing strategies that I favor, they had $3 million for their million in that 12-year period. They had triple the amount of money. They were immune from market volatility. When the market went down, those people were actually cheering. Go down, because they weren't losing. And they started making money again immediately when the market turned around. The first 90 days of 2009, for example, many clients following our strategies locked in gains of 16% tax-free after not losing a dime. Most Americans, it took 4 years from 2009 all the way up until the end of 2012 just to make back the 40% loss. Our clients didn't lose. And so you want a strategy that protects you from the market volatility dangers that cause people to have to put off retirement and you don't have the predictable income. The third big way to tell is that you need a retirement nest egg, a portfolio that every $1 million will generate predictably $60,000 to $100,000 a year, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year of tax-free income if you needed it, without depleting principal. You need predictable cash flow. Most people, most retirees, cannot get a predictable cash flow illustrated by their financial planner if their money is in the market, or if it is a payout, it's a pathetically low one, like 4%. So on $1 million, you're only able to pull out $40,000 a year. You have to pay tax on that. Even in a 25% bracket, you're only netting $30,000. Most asset managers charge at least a 1% management fee. So that would be 10 grand on that million. You're pulling out 40,000 and only netting 20,000. That's pretty pathetic. Wouldn't you rather have 80,000? How much more is 80,000 than a net of 20,000? Well, the 80,000 is tax free. That's net of fees. And so this is what you have to do to analyze. The simple calculation is, if you stopped working right now, will your money last as long as you do? If not, we can help you understand how much you need so that you will not outlive your money.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
How safe are insurance companies? I'll prove this is where many banks invest some of their money. Next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, and my goal is to provide you with insights into opportunities that maybe you didn't know existed before. I have a YouTube channel, Three Dimensional Wealth, that I answer a specific question every single day that has been asked 300 to 3,000 times or more a month for the last several months. And I get this question often, how safe are insurance companies? Now, if you've listened to me, this is one of the four areas that I would recommend you draw income from in retirement because of the safety. In fact, many school teacher pensions, police, firefighters, many defined benefit pensions in this country, even though they're getting fewer and far between, guarantee or protect your retirement income, your pension, by having that money and invested in the multi-trillion dollar insurance industry. So people are always asking, well, how safe are insurance companies? Well, the insurance industry is a multi-trillion dollar industry. In fact, it's where sometimes governments will go to for help when they need assistance. And you don't understand maybe how big this is, this whole industry. One of the insurance companies where I have money manages over $3.5 trillion a year. Now, that's about as much as the IRS collects in income taxes in an entire year in America. That's one insurance company. So do you get it? So it's also the backbone of the world, and they are what we call legal reserve insurance companies. Now, legal reserve means that they have to have reserves on hand that are liquid and safe in the event of a major sort of run on the bank. In this case, it would be a run on the insurance company. And this is why many banks and credit unions have a lot of their tier one assets in insurance companies for liquidity and safety. And this is why during the Great Depression, back in that time period, the companies that I put my money into, and frankly, I'm very, very picky. There's over 200 companies out there that offer indexed universal life, and there's only about six, seven, eight of them that I would consider to put money into. So I'm extremely picky which ones that I would trust with my money because of their reserve requirements. I want to make sure they're not stingy. They actually pass on the bulk of the profit to you instead of holding it in their coffers and so forth. But when you look at them, many of them started clear back in the mid-1800s. So they weathered the Great Depression with flying colors. And here's why. They have those reserve requirements on hand where maybe 15, 20, 30% of their assets are invested in AAA and AA bonds. If they loan money out on skyscrapers and shopping malls, it's only maybe 10, 15, 20%, but they only loan maybe 50 or 60% loan to value. They have a huge cushion if they have to foreclose on that real estate. They don't loan out and leverage, you know, at 80 and 90% loan to value. If they invest in any stocks, these are very carefully selected long-term stocks, and it's a very small percent of their money is invested in stocks. And so they have a very conservative portfolio that they can liquidate at any time. And so that's why during the Great Depression, we saw some real estate in America lose 80% in value. We saw banks close and 40% never reopened. Guess how many legal reserve insurance companies went under in the Great Depression? Zero. Okay. They came through with flying colors, crediting 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5% interest during that horrible depression. Now, let's go to the next huge downturn, the mortgage meltdown of 2008. Many Americans don't realize how much trouble we were really in America, how close we came to collapse. And so there were about 400 banks that went under in 2008. There were 900 more on the watch list, on the brink of going under. And I don't know if you remember, by the way, how many legal reserve insurance companies went under in 2008? Zero, okay? If an insurance company is temporarily insolvent, what normally happens is all the other insurance companies have to ante up. They cross-insure each other, which is a far better system, in my opinion, than FDIC. See, FDIC technically ran out of money when the first time when they were bailing out the savings and loans that failed. And it happened again in 2008. But people say, well, the government can print money and tax people. Well, that's true. But see, in the multi-trillion dollar insurance industry, these insurance companies cross-insure each other. And so they have to file annual reports in each state where they operate. And so let's say I died or I needed a claim and my insurance company was insolvent. Now, this has happened very rarely. All the other insurance companies licensed in that state would have to ante up their pro rata share in order to protect you. And that's why there's never been a legal reserve insurance company not honor a legitimate claim. And so there wasn't one single legal reserve insurance company that went under in 2008. In fact, the federal government in 2008 asked the five major banks in America to disclose where they had their tier one assets for liquidity and safety in case of a major run on those banks. Guess where those banks had 30 to 40% of their tier one assets for liquidity and safety? In the legal reserve insurance industry, oftentimes in BOLI, that's B-O-L-I, that stands for bank-owned life insurance. What? Who do they own the insurance on? It doesn't matter. Maybe they're stockholders, they're board members, and maybe they bought the insurance policies. Why do they do that? Hello? Banks have been crediting a measly 1% or less. So every $1 million that they borrow in OPM, other people's money, when you put money in a bank or a credit union, it's in a lended position. And so what are they doing with your money? They take your money and pay you 1%. Every million, they shell out 10 grand in interest a year. And they turn around and put 30 to 40% of their tier one assets into insurance companies. And during that time period, they were earning at least 5% net. How much more is 5 than 1? Don't say 4. It's 500% more. They pay out $10,000, they make $50,000. Would you buy a widget machine for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? Would you hire an employee for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? That's called a 500% return on employment cost or equipment cost. A business owner understands this. So if you understand what I was just explaining, you can bypass the middleman. Why loan your money to a bank and then they turn around and increase the safety by an average of 6 notches higher? Most banks in this country maybe are rated triple B by S&P, and they put it into insurance companies off times that are rated AAA. That's six notches higher in safety, and they earn 500% more. For long-term savings, you can bypass the middleman, and you can be earning 5% or even greater if you use indexed universal life insurance, which is what I do. And this is really why I use my insurance policy, my indexed universal life, as my savings account for my retirement objectives, where every $1 million can generate easily $50,000 a year of tax-free income. But by linking to an index, I can bump that up to 70, 80, 90, 100,000 a year of cash flow for every $1 million that I accumulate. But here's the deal. See, the multi-trillion dollar insurance industry, in my opinion, would be the last domino to fall if we really got into horrible financial trouble in this country. And so I would have lots of warning because the banks and the credit unions would begin to fail. Real estate would start dropping in value. I would see all kinds of things. I would have plenty of notice to get my money out. But where would I put it? If things got really that bad, frankly, I think the American dollar would become worthless. You better be able to grow carrots in your backyard if that happens. You cannot sit there and say, well, I would put it in gold and silver. If it's really that bad, you can't eat the gold and silver. You need to convert it to those things you need to survive. And so I think the multi-trillion insurance industry would be the last domino to fall. And if that happened, it wouldn't matter where you had your money because the American dollar would be worthless. And so that's really why I consider it the place to put serious cash that I don't want to jeopardize.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.